Well, the first tell you that it's usually really cold in here. Not so much today. Last week, as I told you in my sermon last Sunday, the week before that, I was traveling to Nebraska to visit my parents for a few short days, and I was really looking forward, as I was leaving on that Monday morning, to a direct flight from National Airport to Omaha, Nebraska. Direct is definitely the way to go. I checked in online the day before. I was packed strategically. I had a duffel bag and a small backpack so that I could easily board and travel without any inconveniences. An hour and a half before my flight, I hailed a ride share on Lyft, and in the process, I agreed to travel with one additional person. It was either that or four or six people. I thought just one other person would be good. And I was picked up 10 minutes later. I expected to be at the airport in about 15 to 20 minutes. And while on Massachusetts Avenue, the driver told me that he was going to pick someone else up. This person was not near me at all. It was a 10 to 15 minute detour into the heart of DC during rush hour. And then before taking me to the airport, the Lyft algorithm led to this new rider being dropped off first in Roslyn, in Arlington, at about 8 a.m. on Monday morning. You've been there. Now, once, that detour took me about 45 minutes. Once dropped off, it took me about 5 to 10 minutes to get from Roslyn to the airport. And I rushed through security, nearly stripped off all of my clothes, sat through a conveyor belt stoppage of 5 minutes, and eventually ran to the gate with my shoes and belt in my hand. When I arrived, I discovered that the door had closed just 2 minutes before I got there, and that many calls for my immediate boarding had been made over the speaker system. I had missed my direct flight to Omaha. My calm day was swept away. I began to reclothe as I stood in the line at Delta Airlines customer service. I was not happy. There are several things that I could have blamed for my situation. I could blame the Lyft algorithm or the idea of sharing a ride with anybody. I could have blamed the security conveyor belt. I could blame the closing the aircraft door more than 10 minutes before the scheduled departure. I could point a finger at the crazy traffic situation in Washington, D.C. I can always do that. I could point a finger at the security lines at airports and why we need to go through those. I could point a finger at that I am TSA pre-check, but my ticket, for some reason, did not have that designation marked on this particular travel occurrence. I also could have turned my wrath on the person that I was about to encounter, the Delta customer service representative named Chantel. A week earlier, if you remember, Delta's computers went down, causing thousands of canceled flights with a ripple effect across the country. But I also knew that I could have set aside more time to get to the airport in the first place, as terribly inefficient as that may have seemed at that hour in the morning. When I hear today's lessons, I am reminded of this situation and the many others that happen too often in my and probably all of our lives. In the last several months, these are a few of mine. A couple of weeks ago, I traveled using EasyPass. It had been deactivated, resulting in hundreds of dollars in toll fines that I incurred on my way to New Jersey. They call them administrative fees. My cable and internet were accidentally switched off in my building's central control room, resulting in a six-hour service call. The rental car was not delivered after I was rear-ended here on Whitehaven Parkway, which meant that I had to walk home on a very warm day. These are just a few of the times when I could get on my soapbox and proclaim that the forces of evil and the world in general are working against me and my special place in God's kingdom. and I don't think I'm alone. I don't know that for sure, but there are so many opportunities to think that because we are uniquely special and children of God, and that the world is, and that all of the world's machinations should revolve around our own personal needs. And when they don't, that is a conspiracy to rob us of our rights, which are granted either by our citizenship in this country or just our special place in the ranks of the world. And when those things happen to us, we start to sputter and dispense blame like it is an unlimited resource, but one that we can't possess. And in these times, we pass the blame to the strangers that we happen to encounter. They are either in person or on the phone or by email or social media. And then we quickly forget them because they are unimportant co-conspirators in the game that's stacked against us. Very few people would admit publicly that they are inhospitable to strangers. But when our sacredness is challenged, we forget these shallow platitudes and instead shift the onus onto those who happen to intersect our path, forgetting what Hebrews calls an encounter with a stranger as being like entertaining angels without knowing it. We are consumed by our own existence, and we often miss seeing the strangers in our lives. They are the nameless people who intersect our lives but dissolve into the background of our awareness. They are so often, if not always, there, but we are unaware that they even exist. We don't know how they live or what they truly need from us. These are the people who check our food at the market or pick up the trash at the metro or secure our buildings. We often assume these faceless individuals didn't work as hard as we did, or were not blessed with our level of intelligence, or didn't have the same family ethic that helped us reach our pillar of excellence. But Hebrews calls us to not think of these other people in such a derogatory way. Instead, we are to step into their shoes and encounter them as we would want to be encountered. Instead of letting them dissolve into the background of our lives, we should invite them to join us. Jesus, in today's gospel lesson, teaches about the human inclination to think too highly of ourselves. It's what we call pride. Often we are so full of pride that we assume that we are the most important person in the room, or that the world revolves around our needs. And this sense of self-importance goes hand in hand with the inability to recognize others as important and even equal partners in this thing we call life. It is quite often the case that we want to situate ourselves in a prime position to reap the most reward, to get what we assume is our prize in the race of life, whether it is at the airport, on the road, or in our vocation. We pursue position without considering those around us. We push the buttons expecting that we can coercively manipulate the situation to our advantage. And we do this because it often in the short term works. The squeaky wheel gets attention. Jesus warns us that this kind of advantage seeking, what we might call bullying, is not the way of God's kingdom. In order to attain the exaltation of God, one must be humble. That's what Jesus said. One must be able to step into another's shoes, as Hebrews says. You must be able to make decisions not for one's own purpose, but for the good of the whole. One must acknowledge imperfection and respect the imperfection of others, and not expect to live extraordinarily. I finally got to the front of the line and spoke to Chantel, the Delta customer service representative. I started by saying that my predicament wasn't Delta's fault, but that I needed help and that my day was not going well. Chantel rebooked me on another flight. I took the ticket and went to stand in a line to get my seat assignment. 5 minutes later, she came over to the line and gave me another ticket for a flight going out of another gate. I thanked her, took the ticket, and hustled down to the gate. As I was waiting to board at that flight, I heard Chantel's voice over the speaker system calling my name. I went back to her desk and she pointed me to another gate. And then she delivered a ticket to my hand as I waited in that line. What if we were to forget about being the most important and instead realize that we play a part in all of these things? What if we didn't get exasperated and instead just let things progress as best they can? Might we discover something special? A gift? That is what Jesus is calling us to experience in the life of strangers. And it is the greatest gift of all. And we often pass it by because we forget to give strangers the time of day. Jesus said, "For all who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted."